From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, June 23rd, 2017. And on this day, with no budget agreement in place, Maine state workers hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. And we'll finish up our series on Maine's school laptop program with a look at how changes to the program's funding are affecting rural schools. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
First tonight, members of the State Workers Union, the Maine State Employees Association, are gearing up for a possible state government shutdown if a budget agreement isn't reached in the next few days. And as Mallory reports, they are warning about the consequences not only for thousands of state workers, but for the state's economy.
At a State House news conference, several union members outlined what to expect if a partial state government shutdown begins July 1st. If a new state budget is not in place, workers cannot be paid. They're not even permitted to show up at their offices, which will be closed. But under his emergency powers, Governor Paul LePage can order those he deems essential to come to work to perform certain functions. Even then, they won't get paid for the work they do until a budget is in place. MSEA Vice President Dean Stefari is a child protective supervisor who says he has no idea if he or his staff will be ordered to work or not.
If there's a contingency plan, the state hasn't shared it with me or my caseworkers. I don't know if we'll be deemed emergency workers and ordered to work without pay, or if we will be ordered to stay home without pay, or even if there'll be a skeleton crew.
He says the uncertainty has caused a lot of worry for workers, some of whom are actively looking for other jobs. MSEA staffer Mary Ann Tarowski says the union has tried to get more information about which staff may be asked to work during a shutdown, but has been unsuccessful.
We met yesterday with Human Resources, and what they did say is they were going to view this in a narrow frame of emergency workers, but it would be up to the governor to determine that.
Union members are also bracing for the economic effects a shutdown will have for their families if they're locked out of their jobs and aren't able to be paid. Jonathan French is a civil engineer with the Department of Transportation.
Like everyone else, we have bills to pay, like our mortgage and my student loan payment. Our grocery bills are another concern, as my 4-year-old son has a milk allergy and requires a dairy-free diet and household. If the state shuts down, we will most likely have to pay for our groceries using credit cards, pushing us further into debt.
The union released what it described as a partial economic analysis of a state shutdown once thousands of state workers are not receiving their paychecks. Union leaders estimate a loss of $2.5 million a day in direct and indirect economic activity just from 12,000 MSEA members alone. But the ripple effects extend beyond state employees. During the 1991 shutdown, private contractors for the Department of Transportation had to lay off construction workers because DOT could not pay them. Jane Gilbert is a retired state worker who was employed by DOT at the time of that shutdown. She's convinced that the political showdown is all about the Republicans' desire to repeal the 3% surtax on incomes over $200,000 a year, something that Maine voters approved at the polls last fall.
Despite all the rhetoric, all this is about is tax breaks for the rich, and we need to hold that and remember that.
Budget talks are supposed to continue over the weekend, but even if an agreement is reached, Governor Paul LePage has said the only budget he would sign is the one put forth by House Republicans. Democrats have already rejected that plan. And Democratic House Speaker Sarah Gideon says the governor has made it clear to her that he will take the 10 days he's allowed to veto what he doesn't like. If he sticks by that position, there will be a partial shutdown of state government. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
After 15 years, Maine's program to provide technology to every 7th and 8th grader is changing. A new structure puts more responsibility and control in the hands of local school districts. Some educators say the increased choice that comes with that is a good thing, but others fear decentralization could set the program back and harm some of Maine's rural students. Robbie Feinberg has the final part in his three-part series.
Angus King says that when he launched the program to give every 7th and 8th grader a laptop back in 2001, the goal was never about test scores. The former governor says it was always about giving each student the same device, to put every student in Maine on equal ground.
That the kids in Fort Kent would get exactly the same device and the same opportunity as the kids in Cape Elizabeth, and the kids in Rumford would get them as well as the kids in Camden. And that was an essential principle of the project.
There were other advantages, too. By purchasing laptops in bulk, the state could get them at a lower cost. And Betty Manchester, the first director of MLTI, says because everyone was working with the same technology, schools could work to solve problems together.
If something broke down in the network or something happened with the laptop or something, you had one organization to go to. And it proved to be just, I can't tell you the stories, and that really reiterated the importance of what we decided to do in the beginning.
That one-device model existed until 4 years ago, when the Department of Education gave schools an option of 5 devices to lease instead. But this year, the state is no longer offering any at all. For the first time, the state will hand out block grants for schools to find computers themselves. That may not seem like a big deal, but it's already drastically changing the technology going into Maine schools. For years, the state has favored devices like MacBooks and iPads. But many districts are now opting for a different device, the generally cheaper, more internet-reliant Chromebook. The Ellsworth School Department is one of them. Technology Director April Clifford says Ellsworth previously leased iPads from the state. This year, though, Clifford had to shop around herself for the high school. And when she got quotes for Apple computers in December, she says they were much higher than what the district previously paid.
But that large buy-in power as a state has really, really negatively impacted my district.
Eventually, Clifford opted for Chromebooks, and she and other schools are excited about the new devices. Clifford says the devices are more rugged and feature powerful learning applications. And she says her district is using the cost savings to provide Chromebooks to elementary students as well.
As well as 9 through 12. But if we went with the Apple solution, we wouldn't have even been able to outfit the whole high school. The price points are just so different.
Many schools leased new iPads and MacBooks last year through the state that will last until 2020. However, some educators are worried that this year's shift could leave some rural Maine districts behind.
And that may work down in southern Maine where you actually have internet access at home everywhere. But up here in the woods where there's still a whole bunch of kids who cannot get any access at all.
Crystal Priest is the technology director for SAD4 in Piscataquis County. It was the first district in Maine to give a laptop to every 8th grader. Now every student gets a device from preschool through their senior year. Priest says while Chromebooks are cheaper, they do have drawbacks. Internet access is necessary for some applications. And Priest says that's not an option for many students in her district.
You're not going to throw a Chromebook on a cell phone plan and expect them to actually have a useful functioning machine when they go home. So it's not as much of an option up here.
Some school leaders also think what's happening is the state is shifting costs to local districts. The state used to pay about $850 per student to schools over 4 years. The new grants only provide $600 over 3. And schools say that because the state is no longer buying in bulk, they now need to pony up more money individually. Steve Bailey, the president of the Maine School Superintendents Association, says many schools are already facing cuts this year. He says this could make it worse, particularly for low-income districts.
It does feel like, you know, things are shrinking. And, you know, as the pond dries up. There's no more liquid to keep things flush with funds to keep things going without local support. And when you have to put money in that direction, then it takes it from some other place.
In addition, Madawaska Technology Director Vince Vanier says it's more difficult for tiny tech teams in small schools to troubleshoot problems themselves.
We've got myself and another half-time tech that are dedicated to making this project work. And if we had to come up with a solution on our own, it would be darn near impossible to get the same result as what we had over the previous, 13 years or so.
Education Commissioner Robert Hassan says the department created this change because it heard from many districts who wanted more technology choices. He says the state remains committed to the Maine Learning Technology Initiative, but it wants to shift the emphasis away from the hardware and focus more on helping students learn with technology.
This is a shift to get away from the devices being at the forefront and the devices to be at the background or in the background.
Hassan wants the department to help teachers leverage the technology in the classroom, regardless of their device.
But what instructional strategies are they going to use to get kids to learn what they want them to learn?
But many educators, like Vince Vanier in Madawaska, say they've been left out of discussions about this new direction and want input in the future.
Maine educators know what Maine educators need more than anyone. When it comes to a solution like this, we know what's been working. We know what needs to happen. I'd like to see more of an organic approach to finding a solution.
Hassan says the Department of Education will seek feedback from teachers, principals, tech directors, and students. And he says after 15 years, the goal of the program remains the same, to improve teaching and learning. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Education reporting on Maine Public Radio is supported by a grant from the Nellie Mae Education Foundation. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Friday, June 23rd, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.